Christmas is not about a tree. It's not about ornaments and mistletoe. And you know, it's not about giving of presents. And it's like this one seven-year-old boy said here about Christmas. He said, love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good morning, and welcome to a special holiday broadcast of Love Never Fails. With Christmas upon us, we're bringing you a carefully chosen Christmas message to put this wonderful time of year into proper focus. So, with that being said, let's join Pastor Bill now with today's message, The True Meaning of Christmas.
Turn this morning in your Bibles for our Christmas sermon, and no, it's not going to be from the Gospels as usual. I want you to go toward the end of the Bible in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, as I would like to talk to you this morning about the true meaning of Christmas. And let me read a few verses, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit. In about 30 minutes, I'll get into this text. How's that? We're in 1 John this morning, chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world. Why? That we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. And the church says, amen. You can't wait to get out to the mall and do that last minute shopping and the traffic jams and the strain and all of that. I hope that's not what you're going to be doing, but some of you probably will be. But you know, as I know, that type of stress takes away all the joy of the holiday season. And it also takes away the true meaning of Christmas. Out there, you know, the shopping and the trees and the ornaments and all of that. Now, you know that Christmas is not about a tree. It's not about ornaments and mistletoe. And you know, it's not about giving of presents. And it's like this one seven-year-old boy said here about Christmas. He said, love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen. Now, that's from the lips of a babe, a seven-year-old boy. Betsy Taylor puts it this way. She says, the image about the holidays is renewal and joy. Amen. I like that. But then there's a comma. And she says, but the reality for most Americans, and may I add most American Christians, is debt and exhaustion, waking up on December 26th kind of empty and wondering if that is all there is. That reminds me of a story of four Texas brothers. They got together and they all left home and graduated from college and they became successful doctors and lawyers. And it says here in the story that I'm reading, it says some years later they were around the Christmas table together having dinner and they started talking about their mother. And it says they discussed the gifts that they were able to give to their elderly mother who lived far away in another city. The first brother said, well, you know, for Christmas I had a big house built for Mama. And the second one said, well, you know, I had a $100,000 theater built in that house for Mama. And the third one said, well, I had a Mercedes dealer deliver to her an SL600. And the fourth brother said, well, listen to this. Here's what I got Mama for Christmas. You know how Mama loved reading her Bible, and you know she can't read it anymore because she can't see very well. Well, I met this priest who told me about a parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 20 priests 12 years to teach this parrot the entire Bible. Well, I had to pledge and contribute $100,000 a year for 20 years to the church, but it was worth it because all Mama has to do now is name the chapter and the verse, and that parrot will recite it to her. Well, the other brothers, it says, were quite impressed. After the holidays, Mom sent out her thank you notes, and she wrote to Milton. She said, Milton, thank you so much for the huge house you've built me, but you know I can only live in one room, and I have to clean the whole thing, but thank you anyway. Marvin said, well, you know, Marvin, thank you so much for that Mercedes, but you know, I'm too old to travel and I stay at home and I have my groceries delivered, and I never use a Mercedes, but thank you anyway. Michael, you gave me that expensive theater with Dolby sound. It could hold 50 people, but all my friends are dead. I've lost my hearing and I'm nearly blind, but thank you, but I'll never use it. Dearest Melvin, you were the only son that had the good sense to give me a little thought about your gift. The chicken was delicious. Thank you. May I tell you? Let me tell you something. Christmas is not about giving gifts. It's about Jesus. It's about the Son of God. It's about our Lord and Savior who came to a dark, dark world to save you and I. And we need to remember the true meaning of Christmas, because it's not about shopping till we drop, and it's not about those little chia pets that you're going to buy. That's not what it's about this morning. My Bible says the true meaning of Christmas is found in Luke 2:7, and it says, and she brought forth, meaning Mary, her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. May I say to you this morning, Christians, that there really isn't much room for Jesus in some churches, and there really isn't room for Jesus in this world, as it was 2,000 years ago. It says in Luke 2:8, now there was the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Isn't it interesting? After 400 years of silence from Malachi to Matthew, God speaks, and the first word from heaven is this to man, don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Because see, when Christ was born, the entire world was huddled in darkness. They didn't know whether they should go to the right or to the left. They were living in fear and constant oppression, even by the Roman Empire at the time of the birth of Christ. Don't be afraid, he said. He said, I bring you good tidings. I have something great to tell you. And they say this, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior who is Muhammad. No. A Savior who is Buddha. No. A Savior who is humanism. No. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. The word Savior means a rescuer. Someone who comes down to rescue you out of the destruction and the dilemma that we're in. The meaning of Christmas is not to sit there and say, I didn't get that Lexus. You've seen the commercials where the keys and the ribbon is tied from the bedroom down to the garage and the wife follows it. That's happening at my home. That's not it. Christmas is not about that. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not about Christmas. Let me ask you a question. Whose birthday is it? Well, what have you given him? You bought for everybody on your list. What have you given Christ? Were you with him this morning in prayer? Now, Bill, don't start that. I could have gone to the church across the street. He was preaching on hell. Christmas, it means that God sent to you and me what we needed. I needed to be rescued. I needed to be delivered. I needed to be saved. I needed to be transformed. I needed to become a new creation in Christ. I needed someone to come and take all of my filth and my shame and my sin and cover it, and I didn't know how to get it done. Man didn't know how to achieve it. The sacrifice of bull and goats, God wasn't pleased with that. They can't take away sin. So Jesus came. He came for you. He came to rescue you, rescue me, to rescue all of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what Christmas is all about. When you gather around your tree, listen, it's not about that. And I know you know that. But why don't you make that an altar? Before one package is opened, before you sit down to one meal, you honor God by saying, I don't know the day you were born on this earth, that you became man, the God-man. But right now, I give honor to you. My family gives honor to you. Because, Lord, we know that this tree, these ornaments, these lights have nothing to do with you. Listen, I don't want to shock you. But you know what? Jesus didn't come up to his disciples one day and go, hey, fellas, come here, I want to talk to you. What is it? What is it, Lord? What is it, Master? He says, well, today's a special day. What is it? It's my birthday. Peter, run up to Mount Sinai, cut down a sycamore or a cedar tree, bring it down here. John, run into Bethlehem right now and get some lights. James, listen, go shopping. I want you to go to the mall in Bethlehem. Pick up as many gifts as you can. Bring them all back. We're going to have a party. I think there are some Americans that believe that. No, that's not Christmas. No, Jesus didn't tell them to do that either. You know what Christmas is? Besides God rescuing us, do you know why God did rescue us? Look there in 1 John. It says at 1 John 4, verse 8, look at the very end of it. It makes a statement. It says this. Look at the last three words in verse 8 of chapter 4 of 1 John. God is love. That's why He loved us. Now, you know what's amazing is that God doesn't have to learn to love. See, God is love. We learn to love people. Matter of fact, you might be sitting across and somebody says, I didn't want to sit next to him. I pray that's not the case. I was pointing this way. I wonder if that was led by the Spirit, huh? Listen, we're still in the flesh. Yes, I know our flesh is dead. I understand that. We've reckoned it dead. But would you say that the old man still tries to live? And, you know, we judge, you know, and we have, you know, Listen, God doesn't learn to love, and He loves us, and it's without any effort. And I'm going to shock you now, because God doesn't love you because you're lovely. And He doesn't love you because you're lovable. He loves you because He has chosen to love you. You know, there's a lot of people that don't like pastors, but God does. You know what's amazing? That God's love never changes. That I'm always shocked by that. Even after all of these years as a Christian, I am still shocked by the love of God. It's still so unbelievable, because here's what that means. I mean, God doesn't love me any more right now than He did before I was saved. He loved me the same when I was trafficking and walking in darkness and in sin as He does right now. Why? Because God is love. And I start thinking about all of the horrible places before I became a Christian that I drug the Lord into. All of those filthy things that I did. I know you didn't do anything wrong, so I'm talking about me. He never left us. In the middle of every lie that we told, every time we took His name in vain, every commandment of the Ten Commandments that we broke, every time lust came from your heart, looking upon another man or looking upon another woman, or coveting after money or this or that, or having things higher than God in your life, saying, I love this more than I love anything, and you did not want God or even have anything to do with God. God loved you then. He loved me then. He did not approve of our sin. No, no. But His love toward man has never changed. Now, that's the meaning of Christmas, folks. It's unbelievable. There has never been one second that God has not been in love with you. It has never gone up a degree or down a degree. That is unbelievable. Yet, that is the Bible. It says in this, in verse 9, in this, the love of God was manifested. And who was it manifested toward? Watch this. Toward us. We were the recipients of His love. Now, that word manifested means to expose. It means to bring out into the light. It means to make public. How did God make His love public? Well, we call it Christmas. But what He did, He made His love visible. How? By speaking a word, overshadowing a little 16, 17-year-old virgin girl named Mary, and letting her conceive the God-man, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, God was made visible in this planet. And there He was, born in a feed trough, in a manger, or placed there, because there was no room for Him in the inn. Think about that. The greatest gift ever given to man was placed in a feed trough. God allowed His Son to be placed in a wooden trough where animals eat food. There was absolutely no place for Him there in the inn, for Mary or for Joseph. It says the word manifested there, making God's love visible. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, the Apostle John writes, he says, "That which was from the beginning," meaning Jesus, "which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was what? There it is, manifested," meaning Jesus. "And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us." What is John saying? Listen, he's telling us right there, even though he's not intending to, but he's telling us this morning the true meaning of Christmas. What is the true meaning of Christmas? It's that God wants you to experience His love. There's so many Christians, I'm almost shocked. They don't think God loves them. They're still trying to add up. They're still trying to perform. They're still trying to earn their salvation. You can't earn your salvation. It's a free gift. You come, you confess Christ with your mouth, you believe in your heart, and God says you'll be saved. That's the meaning of Christmas. John says, listen, you don't understand. I touched Him. I touched God. That's what he means in 1 John there. He says, I touched Him. I knew the calluses on His hand. He was a carpenter. I laid my head upon His breast. In John chapter 13, I heard His own heartbeat. I knew the tonal inflection of His voice, the way He combed His hair. I knew His mannerisms. I knew the way He looked at people. I saw the way He prayed. I saw Him heal the sick, heal the blind. I saw Him feed the thousands, the multitudes. I saw Him raise the dead. I experienced God in the flesh. Have you? Have you experienced? That's the whole meaning of Christmas. Have you experienced God? I'm talking about a life-changing experience where you become a new creation, where you're changed like that, where old things have passed away and all things become new. I'm talking about where the Holy Spirit comes upon you and in you and beside you, where you want to live for Him, where the Bible is alive now and not a dead book to you anymore. John says, man, I experienced the risen Lord. I experienced God in the flesh. Manifest. It means made public for all to see. May I ask you a question this morning? The same that I ask in all the other two services as well. And I ask this, and I don't know if it's because God is challenging me to grow in a different way, or if it's I'm thinking, or maybe I'm digressing in my life, I don't know. But may I ask you a question? Do you have the right to hear God? You hear me? Do you have the right to hear from God? Do I have the right to hear from God? Does anyone in this world have the right to hear from God? I have the need to hear from God. Every person on this planet, they have a need. They need to hear from God. But the fact of the matter is, the answer would be no. I don't have a right to hear from God. You know why? Because I sinned against God in Adam, in the garden. Because I'm in the loins of Adam. We're born again now, but I'm saying we were in sin. Listen, whenever Adam and Eve walked out of that garden, what did God do? Or actually, God drove them out. Sent them out. He put the flaming swords of fire, the cherubim standing there. You can't come back in. Imagine Adam and Eve looking back into a perfect paradise, a perfect world, and now they walked out, and the moment they stepped out of Eden, the moment they stepped out of that one foot out of Eden, it was a cursed world. That's what sin does. You know what's amazing? Is that you talk about grace. I mean, God could have said to Jesus, you know what? Crummy and dummy here, they blew it, man. Let's erase and start all over, and we'll just do it a different way. But God didn't. You know what God did? God, He had to send them out of the garden, yes. But God chose to go with them. That's grace. God was in love with them. And He chose to go with them. He killed the animals. He clothed them, and He used that as a blood sacrifice, the atonement for sin. Do we have a right to hear from God? Well, I'm an American, Bill. Americans have rights, by golly. I'll vote you out. Well, you can't vote God out. No. Let me tell you something. The meaning of Christmas is this. God spoke. God spoke from heaven. And how did He speak? He spoke by His Son. The Hebrews says that Jesus Christ, in these last days, God spoke. How? By His Son. Listen, Jesus Christ is the last word to every generation. Jesus Christ is the last word to this planet. Either receive Him or reject Him. Isn't it amazing that God gave us a choice? But we have heard from heaven, and we've heard, and it came by a babe in a manger. And why was He manifested? He was manifested to do what? Our Lord. Isn't it amazing that Jesus was born to die, and you and I are born to live? Doesn't that blow you away? He was born for one reason, to take the sin of the world. He was the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. John says this in 1 John 3:5, and you know that He was manifested, there's that word again, made public to what? To take away our sins, and in Him there was no sin. What is the meaning of Christmas? The meaning of Christmas is this, is that a man can be rescued and changed. You have a Savior and something else. You have a Savior who is willing to die for your sin, to take away your guilt, your shame, and your past, and cover it in the blood of Jesus and place it in the eternal sea of forgetfulness. You opened any presents like that under your tree lately? That's a gift only heaven could give. And that is the meaning of Christmas. It says in Matthew 1:21, and Mary shall bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He shall what? Save His people from their sins. I thank God that Jesus has saved us from our sins. Men reject the Lord. They mock Him. They despise the holy name of Jesus. They want nothing to do with Him. But Jesus came not to condemn those in the world, but to save. And I thank God for that. But look what God did. Look, it says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that what did God do? Look at this now. That God has sent His only begotten, His unique Son, into the world. Don't miss that word sent there. Listen, I don't know if you know this. I know that moms do. Dads probably don't. But babies are not sent. You understand? Now, I know that when we grow up, we feel that they have come from another planet. But that's not the case. When it says that God sent, that means that Jesus has always existed. In other words, God sent His Son from where? From heaven to the earth. Think about that for a minute. We are so familiar with the Christmas story that we forgot what the true incarnation is. When God and man united, that's unbelievable. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Amen? That's what it's all about. That's the incarnation. He assumed our nature. Moms and dads, listen to me. Let me ask you a question. Would you send your only son to some distant galaxy and this little planet full of people who don't care, people who hate you? A place, would you send your child and say, listen, I'm going to send you to a place where it's full of murder, it's full of rape, it's full of war, it's full of hate, it's full of envy, it's full of covetousness, and it's full of selfishness, lovers of self. We created them, but they don't love us. And I'm going to send you down there, son. Will you go down there and die for them? Oh, will you be born? Will you lay aside your deity, your glory, just for a moment? And will you become one of them? All right, I'll do it. Would you send your son off to do that? And then God says, now, Jesus, there's something else. What's that? When you get there and you're born, you're going to grow up. And when you grow up, they're going to hate you. They're going to despise you. They're going to beat you, son. They're going to take a lictor's lash, and they're going to chew your back to pieces with a cat of nine tails full of bone, lead, and glass, and they're going to rip your flesh from your body. They're going to pull your beard from your face. They're going to put a sack over your head, and they're going to beat you, and then they're going to say, prophesy unto me, who smote you if you be the Son of God? Then they're going to take you and drag you up to a hill and let you carry that cross, and they're going to nail your hands and feet. And then I'm going to pour all of the sin of the entire world upon you. And you're going to become the sacrifice for every person's sin that has ever been born and will ever be born, their past, their present, their future sin. Jesus did not have to go and do that. He didn't have to do that.
He chose to do that. He chose to come and die for you and me. He chose to come and be born as one of us, the God-man, so you might have life. That's the meaning of Christmas. Why did God come? You ready? The meaning of Christmas, the true meaning. Why? Because you and I could not get to Him. We couldn't get to God. There was no way. Our sin was stopping us. There was no way to reach to God. There was nothing we could do. We were just dying in this life. But God couldn't get to us. And that's why Christ was born. So that's why it says there in verse 9, look, that God sent His only begotten Son, but why did into the world? But why? Look at that. That we, Calvary Chapel, what? Might live through Him. That's the whole purpose right there. That's the meaning of Christmas, that God came that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. Not only just here, but eternal life in heaven with Him as well. But in order for us to live through Him, we have to live for Him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, and He died for all, meaning Jesus. And those who live should no longer live for themselves. Did you catch that? If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be living for yourself. You should be living for Him. It says, but for Him who died for them and rose again. In other words, Jesus came, as it says in Romans 6:4, that you and I might walk in a newness of life, a new life. And the old things start passing away. That's the true meaning of Christmas. Listen, if you're not living through the Lord Jesus Christ, you are living apart from Him. And if you are living apart from Christ, the Bible tells me in Ephesians chapter 2 that you are still, well, you're dead, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in love and great in mercy, He wants to make you alive. See, if you're not living through Him, you're only existing. You're just existing. You don't have life. You're dead, spiritually dead. Oh, you still have feelings and emotions, but the Word of God doesn't mean anything to you because you're spiritually dead. You have to be made alive for the Word of God to mean anything. Jesus has to come and live in your heart. You have to receive Him. Now, if God wants us to live through Him, there's a reason. Believe it or not, the reason is because God wants you and I to be with Him. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:10, it says, Jesus who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. I love that. Wake or sleep, that means alive or dead. Wake or sleep, now or then. You know, I'll tell you something. I heard a preacher the other day on TV, on our radio station here. And I love the guy. He's a great pastor, great Bible teacher, and I love listening to him. But he said these. He said, he caught my interest because he said, he's teaching from Ecclesiastes, okay? He said, are you advancing in years? What did he say? Turn that radio up, you know? He said, and then he starts quoting these scriptures from Ecclesiastes, and I said, man, this guy's ruining my lunch. And he starts going, he starts talking about what happens when you get old. He says, you know, you start losing your hearing. I said, what? He says, not only that, he said, you start forgetting things. And I said, where am I? No. And he says, you know, the clothes that used to fit you, they don't fit you anymore because it seems like you're shrinking. And your clothes are so big. And your eyes, they're starting to dim. You can't see, you can't read the Bible like you used to. You know, that's what you're going to look forward to. Well, I want to say, well, here's what I'm looking forward to. Click. No, I didn't do that. I left him on. I let him torture me. He says, you know, you're not as strong as you used to be. He says, that's what happens when you get older in your life. I went home and told my wife about that. I said, I don't like that sermon. And I said, I know that that guy is wrong. And I said, I mean, he's a scholar. He has more education than I do. I know, okay, but he's wrong. Yes, I know that, yes, but no, he's wrong. And my wife said, I'll never forget it. She said, honey, Jesus doesn't leave you when you turn 65. I said, I'm writing him a letter. Listen to me. You need to understand that. You know what? So what if your eyes start dimming in your life? I'm on my third or fourth prescription right now, and I still can't see you. Do you understand? So what if your hair turns gray? So what if you're old and you can't go out there and work like you used to when you're 20? So what? So what if you know what? You don't sleep all night long like you used to. I know what it's like. So what that your body changes? Listen to me. Even though your outer man is perishing, your inner man is being renewed day by day and day by day. And more than that, listen to me. Your heart is not changing. Let me tell you what's happening to your heart. I'm closer to Jesus Christ now than I've ever been in my life. And if I live to be 100, I'm going to be closer to Him then. So I can go ahead and say, yeah, I can't see a thing, but I can see Him. Amen? Listen, whether you wake, whether you sleep, don't you let the fear of the world, the fear of man, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ came to give you life. And let me tell you something. When you close your eyes, and one day every one of us will, I've got good news for you. I'm going to see you again, and I'm going to torment you there just like I'm doing here. Amen? That's Christmas. That's the meaning of Christmas, is that you're not going to die. You don't have to huddle in darkness. You don't have to fear death. The one who came, He died for you. That's good news. That's the Bible. That's really Christmas. It's not about getting a chia pet or getting that ugly tie. You don't want it anyway. You know it and I know it. My God, how faithful of a people we should be. All that God is doing in our life. If Jesus saved you when we were enemies, as it says in Romans 5:10, how much more is He going to keep us by the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? In other words, if God loved you when we were against Him, how much more will He keep us now that He has saved us? Bill, is that eternal security? Well, it's eternal enough for me. Does that mean once saved, always saved? Let me put it to you this way. If you're genuinely saved, you're genuinely saved. And if you're not, you're in trouble. My Bible tells me in Hebrews 7:25, it says, therefore, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. I love what one man said, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Good word. It says, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. That means completely, by the way, utterly, all the way to the end. Those, that means us that are saved, who come to God. How? Through Jesus. Now listen, since He always, meaning Jesus, always lives to make intercession for them. Let me just make this as simple as possible, that word. Hebrews 7:25 means this. If you're born from above, there is not one second that Jesus Christ is not saving you and keeping you saved. See, we live, what did it say there in the Bible in verse 9? Look at that. It says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only Son. Why? Look at the bottom. That we might live through Him. Why? We can't live the Christian life without Him. You can't pray without Him. You can't study the Bible without Him. You can't do a good work without Him. And let me tell you something. You can't make heaven without Him. Oh, church, He, if you're saved, He's keeping you saved. Oh, do you know how good that makes me feel? It's like I said, I say it often. If Jesus started out with 99 sheep, the good shepherd's going to get 99 sheep across. Jesus is not going to lose one of you if you're saved. Oh, I thank God for that. I thank God for that. That's the gift of Christmas. That's the true meaning of Christmas. Let that sink into your hearts. You know, I hear people all the time, they say to me, well, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So, what do you mean? That's not even the question. The question is not that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I thank God if you have. But can I just reverse that if you don't mind? The question is this. God has accepted you. That's the meaning of Christmas. Listen, God accepted me. God accepted you. When you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, God says, I accept you. See, He always loved you, but now He can accept you. Why? Because you took the one who died. You received Christ, the one who paid for your sins, the penalty. Everything was poured out upon Him, all of God's wrath. And I go, wait a minute. Now, God, I got it that You love me. But now You're telling me that You accept me? Yes. Ephesians 1:6, that we are accepted in the beloved. Not outside of the beloved, in the beloved, meaning Christ. How does that make you feel? He accepted you. Listen, He did not have to accept you. We have this idea that,
well, he's got to accept me.
Oh, he doesn't. Well, he does. Yeah, he's made the covenant. I know what but listen, he didn't have to. Don't you understand? That's God's idea. That's not a pulpiteer's idea. It's not a pastor's idea. That was God's idea. He says, I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to change you, and then I'm going to accept you. I'm going to seal you, and then I'm going to come for you and take you home with me. That's God's idea. That's not man's idea. He has accepted us. And when I think about that, let me ask you a question. What do you really care? Listen, some of you, you're saying, you know what? I didn't get that gift. If I'd have just spent another $5,000, they would love me. And you know, what do you care what your mother-in-law thinks about you? I'm in trouble now. What do you care what anyone thinks about you? I'm not saying not to care, but what do you care? Who will lay a charge to God's elect? Who's going to charge you if God has accepted you? What's your problem? When I hear Christians come around all the time, oh, my self-image, you know, I'm just falling apart. No, you're not. God has accepted you. Quit looking at yourself. Start looking at your God and your Savior. You know what I'm saying? Let's get it right. Get away from this human psychology and philosophy and all the humanism that's creeping into the church. God accepted us. And listen to me. How many drunkards are out there? How many fornicators? How many adulterers? How many thieves, murderers? Come on. Oh, no, Bill. Oh, what do you think the church is full of? It's full of people that have been redeemed. That means purchased back. Amen? We have to understand that. And God says, I accepted you. That's the true meaning of Christmas. Listen, I thank God. He wants me. He's accepted me. He loved me. He rescued me. God is so good. He loves you. He's accepted us. I've heard it said many times. I've preached it. You've preached it. There's only one way to God. That's right. And when you tell people that, they say, oh, you're so narrow. Man, there's more way to God than just one way. I say, no, there's just one way. May I ask you a question? Was that the angels? They were agreeing with that message, man. I can't get your agreement. I've got theirs. Planned by heaven. Wasn't that wonderful? Thank God for Southwestern Bell. There's only one way to God. You know that and I know that. Let me ask you a question. When I heard this, it broke my heart because I realized, you know, that I'm not very deep in my theology. I study hard. I pray. I studied years. But the question is not, there is only one way to God. The question is, why is there even a way to God? Do you understand? We didn't want Him. There's not one person in this room that wanted Him. Don't tell me that you wanted it. Well, I grew up in a Christian home. Well, you probably need to be saved. I never missed church. My name's on the, I've been a member for 50, I'm a cradle roll baby. You definitely need to get saved. See, the question is, it's not, is there one way to God? Yes, we know that, but the question is, why is there even a way to God? Why is there even one way to God? That's the question. See, that's the whole Christmas story right now, because the world doesn't want God. It's full of sin. It's full of death. They love sin. Go down and look at the sin in this world. Look at it. Look at the war and the hate and the crime. Just look at it. The world doesn't want God. They don't care if there's a way to God or not. They only care if there's a way to satisfy their own selfishness. See, the Christmas story is this. There is a way back to God. That's the whole meaning of Christmas, is that God has made a way back to Him. You see, when we were kicked out of the garden in Adam, there was no way. There was no way to get back to what man lost. Listen to me. If you think you were made for this world, you're out of your mind. Oh, you are made, the Bible says in Revelation, you're made unto Him kings and priests unto the Lord. You're a chosen people. You're a special generation. You are a holy priesthood. Do you not know who you are in Christ? You weren't made for this world. You were made to be in the world where God lives. You were made to be in paradise with Him forever and ever and ever. You weren't made to go through this cursed, filthy, lousy world that we live in, where children are beaten and molested and raped and killed and murdered and maimed through war and every type of other sin known to man. That's not life. That's not what we were made for. We were made to be with the King forever and ever and ever. We're His children. And what's the purpose of Christmas? What's the meaning of Christmas? That God says, there's a way back to me. There's a way back to me. What Adam lost and gave up, the last Adam has regained. Listen, there is a way back. And one day, Jesus is coming for the church, and He's going to take us home. See, we have no continuing city here. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. We're just traveling through. This world is going to burn, but we're looking for a new heavens wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen? We're looking for the new heavens, that new earth. It's coming one day. You'll see it. You'll see God. The book of Revelation says that the saints of God will see God make it as it comes. You'll be standing with God when that happens. Man, Christmas is about Jesus. It's not about what's under the tree. It's about who died on the tree to give us life. Question, have you found the way back to God? He's made the way for you. When Jesus died upon the cross and He said it was finished, the veil of the temple split from top to bottom. Whosoever will can come now. Whosoever will. To be accepted, to be rescued, to be changed, to be delivered from hell, to live with God forever and ever 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 and ever. That's the Christmas story. Do you know Jesus? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Have you confessed Him as your personal Savior? Not talking about joining a church. You can't join the church. You have to be born again into it. I'm not talking about having your name on a card. It's okay. That's all right. But are you changed in here? He's ready to accept you. Are you ready and willing to accept Him with every head bowed this morning? If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, if maybe you're backslidden, I don't know where you stand, but I'll tell you this morning. This message is for you. There is a way home. There is a way back. Well, Bill, how do I do that? Right where you're sitting, all you have to do is lift your hand and say, Bill, I'm not saved. I want to get right with God. I want to be right now. I want to be changed. I want to come home to Jesus. You don't have to come down and stand here in front of the altar. This is between you and God. Right now, between you and God, right where you're sitting. All you have to do is just lift your hand and say, Bill, I want to be prayed for. I want you to pray for me. Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you back there. I see that hand. I want Christ to save me. I want to know that I have eternal life. I am tired of living in sin. I'm tired of being a hypocrite. I'm tired of playing the game. I want the real meaning of Christmas in my life. Any other hand, say, Bill, that's me. I want to come home. There's a way home. Anyone else? Please don't hesitate. Last call. God bless you back there. Thank you. If the Lord touched you, that means He's calling you. This may be the last time He calls you. What are you waiting for? This may be the last time you ever hear this message. What are you waiting for? Last call, one more time. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want the whole church to pray this prayer with me. Those that lifted your hands, you pray this prayer right now. Father, I found my way home. His name is Jesus. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. Rescue me. Save me. I confess right now before all of heaven and everyone present here. And I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is my rescuer, my Lord, my Savior. I receive Him now. I'm saved. Fill me, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the broadcast this morning. May the joy of this special season fill your hearts and homes as you celebrate the greatest gift ever given, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. From Pastor Bill and all of us here at Love Never Fails, I'm Brian Whitaker. Merry Christmas, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.